You know, the idea as to when Jesus rose from the dead, that he rose at sunrise, and that they have these sunrise meetings, is of course alien to the scripture. Jesus rose from the dead probably about what we would call 7 o'clock on Saturday night, because the Jewish day ended at sunset always. It's nothing to start a new denomination about, but the Lord was undoubtedly crucified on Wednesday, and on Thursday was the Passover Sabbath, the big Sabbath, and they hastened to get his body down before that Sabbath. And then there was the Friday, the work day in between, and then Saturday, and he was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, as he said he would be. And it is extremely important that we understand this. You know, Easter was not celebrated in, don't think that a year after Christ rose from the dead that the disciples were saying, oh, it's a year ago today. Easter was not celebrated for 100 years, for 200 years, for 300 years, for 400 years. Nobody ever thought about celebrating Easter for several 100 years after Christ. And it wasn't until the time of Pope Gregory, when Easter was beginning to be celebrated a great deal, and they had 7 different dates for it, and it was being celebrated in 1 date in Egypt at Alexandria, and another date in Syria, another date in Constantinople and Greece, and finally they had the reformation of the calendar, because until that time we had had the Julian calendar that was made in the time of Caesar, and they didn't know anything about the fact that our year is 365.225 days long. And so having missed the quarter of day and not having had leap year, not having had February 29th for a good many 100 years, the calendar was a great many days out of kilter. And the result was that they had the reformation of the calendar in order to settle when Easter would be. And they made it on a very complicated system of new moons, so that it can vary from mid-March to mid-April. But we celebrate the day of the resurrection. Many people don't even know that the word Easter comes from the name of a devil goddess, the most depraved sex goddess in the ancient calendar. Easter, Aster, Ashtaroth, Asherah, the wife of Baal, has given her devil's name to Easter. We celebrate the resurrection day. All of these things came out of paganism, many of these things, but the truth of the New Testament lies in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. God never meant for people to keep days and times. Some of you people, you say, well, we wouldn't be in church if it wasn't for this, because we never go except at Easter and Christmas, which proves that you're not Christians. If there's anybody here that is a once-er, you may be sure of the fact that you're not led by the Holy Spirit. If you're only in church at Easter time, and the rest of the time you sink back to your level of life, you certainly are not dominated and animated by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And it would be a whole lot better that we didn't have Easter, so that you could be a pagan 52 weeks in the year and not give yourself a shot in the arm once a year and think that you're all right when you're all wrong. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth. She'd already been about 2 miles from town out to this place, and now she starts to run back. This is important, because she was tired, she was distraught, and something is going to come in the chapter a little later that shows this. She runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, 20 years old, did outrun Peter, 40 years old, and came first to the sepulchre. Even in these tiny details, you see the mark of veracity and truth. And he, John, shy, timid, reverent, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying that had been wrapped around and around and around and around the body of Christ, a couple of 100 yards of linen, And the body had come right out through the cloth, just as he came out through the tomb, just as he passed through the walls into the upper room, and yet it was a body that could eat fish and honey, a body that could be touched. John did not go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre, because this is just like Peter, nothing would have stopped him. There was little reverence about him at first, and he seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that had been about the head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded in a place by itself. And then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, they did not understand the Old Testament scripture. Oh, if people would only understand that the people that lived at the time of Christ did not understand the Old Testament. Isaiah didn't understand it. Isaiah didn't know that the Lamb was Christ. Isaiah didn't know that the seed of the woman was Christ. Not yet. They knew vaguely that the Messiah was coming, but they hadn't in any wise personified him or identified him. It's only because we're looking backward through the Bible with the New Testament in our minds and hearts that we understand. As yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own house. Now somewhere on the road, the women who had come out, run back, started out again. This was 6 miles, and they had brought a bundle of spices the first time. They were carrying a heavy burden. Then Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Some time has passed. She's now made the journey back again, probably trudging and tired. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. In the 24th of Luke, it says of the two at Emmaus, their eyes were holden. And the Greek word is that he, Christ, definitely restricted them from understanding for a purpose. He had a purpose. He did not want them to recognize him at first. He wanted them to understand him spiritually before they saw him physically. God is never interested in physical manifestations, pictures. See, the very heart of Christianity is to try to get you away from anything that you can have with hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, and smelling, and get you to the heart, where you lay hold upon Christ with the heart. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." That's one of the most beautiful lines in the Bible. If men will study that verse, they learn a great deal about the heart of a woman, a good woman. They learn what makes women tick and how they are. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She was dead on her feet. And here she's offering to carry the dead weight of a body that weighed 150 pounds or more. And she's offering to carry it away. She couldn't have done it, but you couldn't have stopped her offering, because that's the way a woman is. She had walked out, she had run back, she had come out again, 6 miles, and with all of the emotional background of these previous days, and she said, "Sir, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." That was enough. She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Just her name. Do you know the Lord well enough so that you'd recognize his voice if he called you by name? You know, there are lots of people, when the telephone rings and I pick up the phone, they begin to talk. I don't even have to ask them who they are. There are quite a few people I know well enough so that with whom I have conversations very often, that when I say hello, they say, start right into the business underhand. And I identify them from the first phrases of their voice. I know them so well. Thus, she knew the Lord Jesus. I'm afraid that if some of you people, if the Lord Jesus spoke your name and began to talk with you, you'd say, "Well, who is it? I don't like people on the telephone that don't identify themselves." I've heard people say that. Guess who it is? The Lord would have to say to a lot of you, you better think that over and get to know his voice. Live with him a bit. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. He had risen from the dead. He had the value of his atonement. A little later, that same day, he's going to say, touch me. Well, what's the inference? Well, that in between the morning when he saw her and the afternoon when he met with the disciples, he ascended into heaven and presented the value of his death at the Lord, then came back. He ascended into heaven many, 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 many times. He didn't live behind a rock or a bush down in the valley of the Jordan in the 40 days. He lived in heaven. It's very, very close. It's closer than North Philadelphia or City Hall. And he traveled with the speed of thought. And yet it was a body that could be put on a scales and weighed. But it could pass through a wall. It was not controlled by the laws that cover our physical body. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the first day of the week, that's why we keep Sunday. Every once in a while somebody says, well, why do we change from the Sabbath of the Ten Commandments? Because Jesus Christ is alive. You know, there's one thing that in the irony of history that I love. Every Jew who does not believe in Jesus has to write down 1956 on his checks and his books, which means 1956 years since Jesus. And every Russian, in the Russian language, when he says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when he says what we call Sunday, which we get, of course, from the Germanic, the day of the sun, while in Spanish it's today is Domingo, which means Lord's Day, but in Russian they say Resurrection Day. And every one of their conferences, their newspapers, everything in Russia that's announced for the first day of the week is announced in a Russian word, Resurrection Day. And they have to say it. Resurrection Day, 1956, and only they say it, 52 resurrection days a year. I love these ironies of history where God makes the unregenerate consciously, and he'll be able to say to them, but didn't you call Sunday, the first day of the week, Resurrection Day? But you didn't believe in the resurrection. This is the grounds for sending men to hell. They're the same as some people in this room may well be in hell. Because you're interested only in an Easter religion. You've got to have the risen Christ in your heart and life. The first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. We'll suspend the reading at this point, but I want you to notice they were up there huddled for fear of the Jews, and then were the disciples glad. Had anything changed outside? Not a thing. Were their circumstances the same? Exactly. Did the world hate them? Just as much. What changed them from fear to gladness? Jesus Christ in the midst. And I'll tell you, that's what will alter your life and transform your life. May God add his blessing to this reading from his word. Every movie that there ever was built around one of these three plots. One of the commonest, boy meets girl, there's some difficulty, they're separated, and then they come together again. And the world sees this same plot over and over and over and over again. And they at least have three, but we only have one when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that man is a sinner and that God did something about it by sending Jesus Christ and raising him from the dead. When I come to Easter Sunday in this church, I'm reminded that the first time I ever preached in this church was approximately 3 weeks before Easter, and that the following week, having been elected by this congregation to be the pastor, I accepted to come as of the 1st of September, but they said, won't you at least come and hold the Easter service? So I came and held the Easter service, And then I had to go to complete my examinations at the university in France, and then I returned to become pastor of this church. But in the 30 Easters of that time, I've had to prepare and preach an Easter sermon for Sunday morning, an Easter sermon for Sunday night, and I've preached on the resurrection many, many other times. And always there's the thought, Lord, can I find anything new to say about Easter? New about the resurrection? For it's something like a sunrise. They've been happening every 24 hours for thousands of years, and yet they've never been two alike. And that's somewhat the way we must confront the theme of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is very old, but it's new like the sunrise. And as I began to prepare the messages for today, I thought of this morning's and I thought of this evening's. And tonight, because so many scores of people have asked me, what about reincarnation and Bridey Murphy? I decided that I would speak tonight on resurrection or reincarnation, because they're two absolutely different things. But for this morning's message, as I went into the Word of God, I kept thinking all the time of a subject that I used 2 years ago on Easter. And I just had to put down the topic at the top of the paper when I began to work. The same topic. And then as I began to think about it, I thought of something different. And then all of a sudden I said, well, I'm going to take the same topic and the same beginning, but all the rest of it's going to be entirely different. 2 years ago, I spoke about the fact that we must approach the cross through the tomb. That we must go back to the cross from this side of the tomb, as Paul and the early Christians did. You see, Paul lived his life from his birth on up to the time Jesus Christ died. He lived 1,000 miles away and didn't know about it. And when Paul first arrived in Palestine, he was among the Jews, and he heard about this little sect of Christians, and he said, well, let's go kill them. They're against the law, and the book of Leviticus said, stone them, let's go stone them. And then God revealed his son to Paul as risen, and Paul knew Jesus as the risen Lord before he knew him as crucified. And he went back through that open tomb and caught the cross from the resurrection side. And I believe that that's the thought we must ever have. It is a tragedy that our churches teach to the children the life of Christ. Now, Napoleon was born, Napoleon lived, Napoleon had Waterloo, and that was the end. And Jesus was born, and Jesus lived, and Jesus died. Yes, Jesus rose again, but for much of the church in Christendom, it has become the resurrection is an afterthought. In the Roman Catholic Church, for instance, Good Friday is a much bigger day than Easter Day. The crucifix is more important than, and the cross is more important than the resurrection. The same is true in the Greek Orthodox Church. And for many people in Protestantism, there were probably a whole lot of people did a whole lot more on Good Friday. Today they're more concerned about, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade, and I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet. But they're a lot more interested in that than they are in the spiritual factor of the resurrection and that Jesus Christ is alive. Now when we go back to Christ's death through the tomb, then the whole of Christ's life becomes different to us and everything he did becomes totally different. First of all, the sting of death is removed. I remember when I was a small boy living in California, we had a lot of bees. In fact, about 100 yards away from our house, Father had some bees. And they were always around the flowers, and I can remember one day when I was quite small getting stung by a bee. And my mother heard my yell, and she came, and she knew right away what it was. And the bee that had stung me was crawling nearby. And Mother came, and she got a pair of tweezers, and she showed me the sting, and she pulled the sting out. And she explained to me how that when a bee stung me, the bee lost its stinger and never could sting again, and that the bee died always after a bee stings somebody, the bee dies, and that he could never sting twice. Well, I didn't think about it, except when I was contemplating this week, O death, where is thy sting? I remembered that childish incident. And I began to realize that just as the sting was in my hand, that so the Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? And that sting left a scar in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ because death struck him. But death died. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died because he rose again, death died. And we can sing, oh, it is not death to die, to leave this weary road and midst the brotherhood on high to be at home with God. That's not death anymore. Spurgeon wrote a letter to Andrew Bonar, who was probably the greatest preacher in Scotland. When Spurgeon was a young preacher in his 30s, he wrote to Bonar, who was in his 70s, and asked him if he would send him a photograph, that he would like to have it. And the old man wrote a letter, Dear Spurgeon, if you had waited a little, you could have had a better likeness, for soon I shall be like him. And he knew and understood that though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.